Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, and please drink blue and light. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I hope your summer's going well. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me in the studio to kick off our show, Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer, Penn Live, and the Patriot News, back from Chicago. Bob, how you doing?
I'm good. And with the smell of 409 barbecue wafting through the air, I know that Ross Tucker will be joining us very shortly.
Another teaser I got for you. We have guests this week. We have some guests this week, and, you know, that Ross guy will show up and join us. But our show's jam-packed, so let's get rolling. We don't want to waste any time before we get into it. We're going to kick off with news and notes. Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We'll do some more 2020 recruits. Think JUCO for this one. Quarter three, we've got your questions. They're his answers. That's Ask Ross, brought to you by the aforementioned provider of food, 409tailgateclub.com.
So good.
Yeah, his plate is full. And in quarter four, we're going to give you our Big Ten coaches ratings, rankings, top five. We're going to talk about them on the heels of Media Day. That's Ross Tucker, by the way. And you won't hear from him for the next 6 minutes.
I would say three tops.
Yeah, but it's two plates. He's going to go back for a second.
I said 3 minutes.
All right. Let's start with news and notes, Bob. Let's talk about Etor Gross-Matos and Journey Brown. It came out. I was kind of wondering when I was at Lift for Life. I didn't see either one of them. They were both listed on the player roster.
Yeah.
And then I started hearing rumblings. I thought about bringing it up last week when you weren't here. I was like, I hear Etor. I've been told Etor's not up there at all. I didn't know about Journey Brown, but they were suspended. The official word is they were suspended after spring ball for the summer. They were not with the team during the course of the summer workout period. They will be back soon.
August 1st,
they will be back. There obviously was no announcement what it was. In your opinion, does it matter? Do you think that matters, or is it a big deal? I'm just asking your opinion.
I don't know how big of a deal it is. It certainly doesn't help Etor's stock moving forward with the NFL. I'm sure that's going to be a box they're going to want to ask about that. I heard there was a little fraternity ruckus over the winter, and these guys were probably involved in it. Last year,
that's what I heard as well.
Last year, Kevin Givens and Manny Bowen weren't with the team during the summer. I believe they summered in Harrisburg. These guys have not been on campus since the end of spring. I think Tariq Kestrel Fields is another guy that maybe there could be a little doghouse for him as well. I don't think it's going to hurt those guys as far as missing anything per se. I do think there's a good chance that James may end up suspending them at least a game. That's what they did with Givens last year. Manny Bowen never really played at Penn State last year. It probably doesn't. I think if it hurts anyone, it's probably Journey Brown a little bit, because there are two true freshman running backs, I think, that really are going to push him in the month of August. And I think he's going to have his hands full holding on to that backup job. So, you know, boys will be boys in the winter when testosterone's in the air, and I think this is what happened. It's a little Etor's a pretty quiet guy. That surprised me a little bit, but I wouldn't rule out a one-game suspension against Idaho. But James is very reluctant to admit this. He was going to make us ask him. He was not going to disclose this, but that's my take on that.
So, a couple things real quick.
Food break alert.
Okay. Yeah, I'm switching from the pork to the ribs. It is so good. If you listen to this show and you don't ever get 409 Tailgate Club, you're a moron. I'm just telling you that right now. It is so good. Anyway, two thoughts. Number one, the summer suspension is kind of hilarious to me. I mean, so it happened in the winter, but they're not suspended for spring ball.
Nope.
They're suspended for the summer, and they're back for the first day of training camp. That reminds me, do you guys remember the old kick returner receiver from Alabama, David Palmer?
Yes.
I remember
he
got arrested for like a DUI or something, and they said he's going to be suspended for the first half of the opener unless the tide's receiving. Which I thought was amazing. In terms of who it hurts, it hurts Etor Gross-Matos the most. because now the guys that projected first round pick, they will look into that very, very closely. I mean, even just the fact that now he's suspended, next year, the combine, the pro day, he's going to get asked about it a million times.
Right.
If you are any college football player, but especially a prospect, dude, you got 3 years where you just can't have anything like that happen, so you are potentially a red flag guy. I don't think he's really a red flag guy, but he's going to have to answer questions about it. Look, Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft. They had him on video running away from the cops, so it's not the end of the world, but it is just a distraction. And by the way, I really don't like anybody that ever got into a fraternity ruckus when they were in college. Those are bad boys, and we should... They're a bad boy. That is a bad thing to do.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light.
Holy crap, man, the ribs.
Obviously, we have 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue while we are in studio this week. If you hear something chomping going on, that would be Ross. Bob, you were out at the Big Ten Media Days last Wednesday, Thursday.
Thursday, Friday.
Of last week, and then you stayed in Chicago for a little bit. I hope you had a good time.
Did, yes.
It was all available on the Big Ten Network. I watched a lot of it. What were some of your takeaways, generally speaking? And did you have a takeaway or two from Penn State that we can talk about?
Jim Harbaugh dominated Big Ten Media Days.
He did.
And it wasn't just because he went on Tim Kawakami's podcast before Big Ten Media Days and said, I'm paraphrasing, Urban Meyer is a great coach, obviously, but controversy has followed him everywhere he's gone. It wasn't just that. It was asked about it, wouldn't back off. Hey, Michigan, you just got walloped by Ohio State last year. The Big Ten media somehow voted you the team to beat. Would you agree with that? Yeah, I would agree with that. I just think that my sense of Jim Harbaugh is he is mad at the world. He's definitely circled the wagons. This is the biggest year for him by far at Michigan. I think he's mad at everyone. I think he's mad at former players who left early for school or tried to transfer out of the program. I think he's still mad at Penn State for when they tried to run it up on him 2 years ago, even though he's run it up on them twice. He's definitely mad at Ohio State. I think the rage is starting to come out of Jim Harbaugh, and it's like coming through his ears, his pores, and I don't know how he's going to manage it. I think he was a year late relinquishing the reins of the offense and finally discovering there is such a thing as an RPO, and he's trusting Josh Gattis to do it. I just think that all the goodwill he built up the first year, 2 years he was at Michigan, 15 and 16, I think it's about gone, and if he does not get it together late in the season, I think it could really be a disaster.
Yeah, I see his rage coming from. There's some heat in his kitchen too, and he feels a little bit like a cornered animal in a cage.
He's in a mood to fight. You can just tell out there. He wasn't backing away from anything. He would answer every question you asked him, but he's going to tell you what he thinks, and he doesn't care what you think. He does not care at all what you think.
And he dominated. He
looks you right in the eye, and he's hoping you're going to say something. He is.
Any Penn State takeaways from Media Day for you?
Yes. One Penn State takeaway is James Franklin and the staff are very, very, and Ross Tucker is going to like this, very excited about Brandon Smith, like super excited. He has done his work in the weight room. Matt Millen was raving about him, what he saw on tape from him in the spring. And James said, yeah, he looks physically like he's transformed into a man. So if there was any doubt about him playing and playing a key role, I think that's probably gone.
Two quick things. Number one on Harbaugh. Like, I don't know if you guys know this. He's a really strange guy.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that
– just generally speaking.
Yeah. Anybody that played with him in college, NFL, knows him. I don't know, like, how many friends he has. He's just a really unique guy. And you see that with all the stuff he's done. As for Penn State, my big takeaway was the thing that Franklin said about maybe taking 30 guys. And the thing I think is interesting about that, I think that makes perfect sense because of all the transfer portal. You might as well, right?
You lost 10 guys in the transfer portal.
They should do it every year if they can now. That should be just standard operating procedure is you take 25 or more back count. I think that's going to be the new math for college football with transfer portal. I guess I wonder, one thing I think about James is for the most part, when he says things, there's like a reason for it. I guess in my mind, I don't know why you would say that. Like, why you would let people know what your strategy is there. So, number one, other schools that weren't thinking that might think, you know what, he's right. With the transfer portal, we're going to lose 5-10 guys a year. We should take more this year. We should back count. Maybe they all already know that, but I wouldn't give them that much credit, number one. Number two, do you feel as privileged and as excited to get a Penn State scholarship offer if you're one of 30 or more? I guess I just don't think it helps him or helps Penn State for all these kids to know that. Like, if I were another school, I'd be saying, oh, yeah, you're going to Penn State offered you? Great. They're taking 30 or more kids. You know, they're probably taking five guys at your position. Go ahead. They're taking anybody this year. They're taking all kinds of three stars. So maybe you guys can figure out the logic and why he said it, or maybe he was just being honest. I don't know, but it seems to me like why would you say that?
Well, I know in the last two classes when they've had very good recruiting years, he's taken somewhere between 4 and 6 preferred walk-ons. You know, when they were in the low 20s.
Right.
So I think he's just, because of the numbers that they can, he's just extending that and saying scholarships. I also think he's kind of enjoying finding the niche players. Like, when I look at the recruiting class and how it's shaping up, and he already has 20 already, right? So it's mid-July and he already had 20. What's he done? You know he's going to head to a high number.
He's providing cover for the eventual losses that are going to come. Instead of having to scramble now like he did this year, I think he's admitting that, hey, we're going to cover our bases a little bit on the front end instead of having to scramble in May and June.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to ask you real quick, Bob, James said it after spring ball that this is going to be a true quarterback competition. He reiterated it again at Big Ten Media Days. Your opinion? Do you think it's going to be a true quarterback competition? Last time we wondered about this,
you know what? I would say it's definitely Sean Clifford's job to lose. But then he says, "Will looks like Troy Aikman."
Right,
and I'm like, "Why would you say that?"
Right,
but I think he's just trying to keep Will in the ball game,
in the ball game, and in the room.
It's Sean's job to lose for sure.
All right, that's it. That'll be it for quarter number one from the Labatt Studio. Coming up, it will be Tucker's Tape, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. It's brought to you by gopsurv.com. Excuse me. We're going to talk about 2020 JUCO, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.